Body.
That's better. Welcome to Resurrection Sunday, First Pentecostal Church. We're so happy to have each and every one of you this morning. My, what a great looking group of people we have. Give yourself a hand this morning. You really look good. It's good to see each and every one of you. We want to begin with prayer this morning, and I got great news for you. He's alive. Jesus is alive and well. Amen to that. Praise God. Died on the cross for our sins, and he's alive forevermore. Amen. And just could I just get a wave of hands who's planning to go with him forever and live in eternally with our Lord and Jesus Christ. If you're able this morning, please stand with us. If not, please continue to be seated as we open up with prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your goodness, for your grace, and for your mercy, for this day of celebration, this day of remembrance. Lord, we're so thankful that Jesus not only died on the cross for our sins, but he has arisen today, alive and well. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can gather here today, Lord, in remembrance of that wonderful and glorious event. And Father, I pray that this won't be the only day of the year that we remember the great sacrifice that Jesus paid for our sin debt. We ask that you bless every part of this service this morning, God. I ask that the Holy Spirit will be with us to lead us and guide us, God. And we do remember those. Many are sick, many are afflicted. And we pray, God, that you would continue to touch them, anoint them, and heal them. We ask now, God, the leadership of your Spirit upon every part of this service. And we'll be careful to give you praise and honor and glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. If you will look and see, we have several Easter lilies, that's what they're referred to, here on the platform today. As tradition has it at First Pentecostal Church, for years and years and years, we brought those lilies not only to be a part of the Christmas, or the Easter drama, rather, but also in remembrance of those dearly departed saints. They are many. We've been blessed to be pastor here for 30 years, and even prior to that, we have so many of our original congregation who's already gone home to glory. So today we remember them, and we're going to ask Sister Lori if she would come. She has a list of names that those that we're going to remember this morning, some precious loved ones and saints of God who have already gone home to glory. Sister Lori, would you come?
Mary Peters, Linda Peters, Joe Williamson, Charles Allen, Dwight Watson, Jonathan and Jacob Watson, Fred and Aline Wicks, Max and Dorothy Seals, Theo and Grace Wicks, Buford Tidwell, Gladys Wheeler, George and Elfie Allen, Jesse and Pearl Seals, Judy Seals Bailey, Jason Springer, Brad Newman, Scotty Newman, Philip Newman, Nia Hennis, Thelma Atkinson, Louise Halstead, Connie Mead, Stock Mead, John Fasick, Vic and Sybil Woodley, Jack and Maria Bryant, Marie Bryant, W.T. and Eileen Moses, Shirley Roberts, Lola Lewis, Allie Corey, Earl Moses, and Adam Ball.
Thank you, Sister Lori. Would you bow your heads with me in a moment of silent prayer as we remember those dearly departed saints? Amen. Thank you very much for that. And again, welcome this morning. This morning, we will be having a Easter drama, and it's going to be entitled To Tell the Story. And it's a wonderful story that needs to be told again and again and again, not just on Easter Sunday, but each and every day. So at this time, we're going to turn the service over to our drama team, and you be much in prayer for their depiction To Tell the Story.
Hey, kids, come on in. Hey, we've saved this pew for you, and there's some seats up here, too, if you need them. Hey, come on up. Morning. You can just take those up. I'll take them. There you go. Thank you, thank you. Well, guys, we're so glad you were able to come today. And teachers, thank you for bringing them. I know over the past couple weeks, your teachers have been teaching you the story of Easter. Is that right? Yeah, all right. Well, that's why we brought you here today. Our drama team is practicing for our annual Easter drama, Tell the Story. So we want you to watch. Remember what your teachers taught you, and go along with it and see if you've got any questions. Fact questions. Sister Elaine, I heard they had great ones. Oh, this is great. Our drama team is going to practice just like you did. They have to learn their lines. They have to know where to stand, what to do, just as you studied your lesson. So let's pay attention and watch the drama team as they set up to practice. Tell the story.
I really wanted to thank you for helping us. It's so hard to get everybody here at the same time to get the scene set up for the Christmas play.
When I'm here,
I sure do. This is a place when I come, I feel so much at peace and really comfortable. It's also a great place to learn how much Jesus loves and cares for us. You know, if you keep coming, you might just figure out how much he loves you too.
Look now, I'm here to help you and some of the other.
Morning. Thank you all for being here. It's such a joy to see you. And I see that some of the scenery has already been set up, and thank you all for the things that you brought. You know, we have been talking this up for several weeks now here in church, and we've been going by word of mouth and Facebook and flyers, and we are so glad that y'all are here with us this morning as well. So thank you all again for being here. We have really been looking forward to it. Now, I know that we've got some more helpers coming, so hey, come on in. Thank you. And who do we have?
Tyler and Tyler.
Well, hey, y'all make them welcome. All right, we still have a few more items to put in place, so if we'll just jump to it just a little bit, then we'll be done. Okay? All right. Thank y'all for your help.
I know all this is very important, and everyone just keeps saying, tell the story. I mean, don't y'all do this every year?
Well, we do it every year, but it's not something that we just do for fun. It's really important that we tell the true story, the story of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and now he rose on the third day for us. You know, in Acts 1:8, it says, go to the uttermost part of the earth and be witnesses for the gospel. And that's why we do this play, to spread the gospel to people who might not know Jesus Christ.
Hey, y'all. How are y'all?
Yeah, how are you?
Hey, look, I'm the youth pastor here. Nice to meet you. Nice to see you again. And, you know, I know you have a lot of questions and a lot of things that you have on your mind, you know, and one of the questions was, you know, why do we do this every year? You know, it seems like we go through the same routine every year. And if you'll allow me to, I'd like to answer some of your questions. I'd like to start over here. You know, we talk a lot about the cross and about purple and what it means and the whipping post. But let's start over here in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, the Garden of Gethsemane was a very important place because that's where Jesus actually surrendered his will to the Father. And he said, you know, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And I think it's interesting because, you know, in the whole Easter scene, we look and we say, you know, we look at the cross and we look at everything so precious to us. This is where it all started. It all started right here. It's great to see the kids come today. I appreciate y'all coming to help.
Hey,
appreciate
brother,
y'all coming. Yes,
hey,
ma'am.
They had a lot of really good questions in Sunday school, and I was wondering if you could address them.
I sure will.
Great.
As many as I'm able to, that would be wonderful. Thank you. I understand y'all have been learning a lot about this in Sunday school. Matthew 26:36 says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch for me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. One of the questions that was asked was, why did Jesus' sweat become as drops of blood? You see, when Jesus was praying in the garden, he was surrendering his will. Science has actually proven that you can be under so much stress, an incredible amount of stress that Jesus was under for us, that his sweat became as drops of blood. In other words, the blood of his own precious body came out like sweat. Because he wasn't just going through the pain that he was fixing to go through, he was going through the emotional pain. You ever have somebody come up to you and they say, you know, I just hurt on the inside. And you want to tell them, I know how you feel, but you can't because you've never been there. But Jesus has. Jesus knows how you feel. Jesus knows what you're going through, and he still loves you. Amen. Mark chapter number 15. Verse number 1 says, And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes, and the whole council, and bound Jesus, and carried him away, and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, Thou sayest it. And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. One of the questions that was asked, why did they arrest Jesus? They arrested him because Jesus was telling the truth to the people, just as he's telling the truth to us today. You know, there's an old saying that says, the truth hurts. When somebody tells you something that's truthful, sometimes it really hurts your feelings. Sometimes it hurts what you thought you believed. And Jesus was going around telling people the truth. They were looking for the Messiah to come in high places, but he didn't come like that. He came born in a manger as a baby. I love one of the signs that I read during this past week. I love this season, but it said Easter, the rest of the Christmas story. Isn't that amazing? You know, we can celebrate Easter because Jesus came and he loved us. He gave his life for us. But as he was taken, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, like a lamb to the slaughter, he didn't say anything. He could have said all kinds of things in his defense, but he said nothing. He willingly went and gave up the ghost for us, for you, and for me. Why did he do that? Because he loved us. Because he loved us with an unveiling love, a love that never stops. It's just like a husband and a wife when they get married. One of the biggest things is they wear a wedding band. What does that wedding band represent? A circle of love. There's no beginning and there's no end. With Jesus, it's the same way. He never stopped loving you. No matter how far you've went from him, he never stopped loving you. There was a story I heard. This young man was on a train. This minister, he was ministering in the Midwest. And he looked and he could tell this young man was really upset. And he said, "Young man, what is wrong? I'm a minister. You can tell me. What is it?" And he said, "Well, sir, a few years back, I was staying with my mom and dad, and I love my mom and daddy so much. With tears in his eyes, he said, I wrote him a letter and told him, I'm sorry for all the things that I've done years ago. I got real mad at my dad, and I said some things that were really hurtful, and I left home. And I just want to come back, preacher. I just want to come back. I want to come back home." With tears in his eyes, he said, "I wrote him this letter. And he said, I know there's a big apple tree out in front of our house. Mom and Dad, if you could just tie a little white rope to that apple tree, then I'll believe that it's safe to come back home." He said, "Preacher, we're fixing to come to my house. I just want to come back home. Is it okay for me to come? I'm so sorry for everything I've done. I just want to come back home. I don't know what to do. I just want to come back home." The preacher, he opens the curtains, pulls them back, and he looks, and with tears in his eyes, he said, "Son, I don't think you have anything to worry about." He said, "Why, preacher, can you see that white thing on that apple tree?" He said, "Son, I've never seen an apple tree so covered in white with all in my life. And to top it off, your mom and dad is carrying a big white sheet saying, 'Welcome home.'" That's what Jesus is doing to you right now. You thought you just came in for just a regular Easter play, but Jesus wants to get a hold of your heart. Why do we do things over and over and over like this? To tell the story. To tell the story about Jesus and about how much he loves you. As they brought him out and they arrested him, they took him to the whipping post. They brought a cat of nine tails, which is a whip that had stones and shards and sharp pieces of glass in it. They beat him 39 times. They didn't just whip him, they beat him 39 times. They could have beat him 40, but 40 would have killed him. They didn't want him to die. They want him to suffer. He did that for your sins. He did that for my sins. And you might be saying, "But Brother Chris, I'm a good person. I go to church." I want to tell you the truth right now. Good people go to hell. And that's the truth. I know the truth hurts, but Jesus loves you. And he did this for you. As he went to the whipping post, John 15:6 says, Now that the feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered unto them, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out unto him, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him, in verse 16, led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him one on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and, bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was about the third hour, and they crucified him. And verse 26 says, and the superscription over his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. How correct they were. In verse 27, and with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. If we go over to Luke's gospel, Luke chapter number 23, verse 39 through 44. I want to read that real quick to you. The Bible says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost thou now fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. I want to let you know there was a thief on either side. I was the thief. He was the sacrifice. There was one on his right hand. There was one on his left hand. The one on his right hand looked at him and he said, God, if you're God, get us out of here. But he knew he was in the wrong. But the one on the left, he looked and he said, I deserve everything I'm getting. I deserve everything because I committed sins. But he looked over. See, too many times we look and we say, I got to say this big fancy prayer and I got to do this and I got to do that. The Bible says if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, thou shalt be saved. The one on the left hand looked over and he said, Lord, remember me. Remember me. He didn't have to come up and get baptized. He didn't have to have a whole bunch of things. He said, Lord, remember me. And Jesus looked over at him and said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. There is a way that Jesus made that we can be with him. In the world, in the turmoil that we have in this world, John 14 and 1, I love this passage of scripture. Jesus said, oh, hallelujah. I'm thankful for the cross. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will receive you again to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, how can we know the way? And verse number 6 said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you think you've been good enough to be saved, you're wrong. The only way we'll ever be good enough is by the blood of Jesus, by the blood that was shed for our sins. And to believe that Jesus was our sacrifice. John 15, verse 37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that, he so cried and gave up the ghost, and he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, the less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem.
Y'all have done a beautiful job. Thank you so much for everything that you did. Everything is in place and it's all ready to go. So thank you again. Thank you, thank you. And thank you for being here, classes. We appreciate you being here. Well, that's pretty good timing because it's time for the choir to come up.
There is a blood, oh, and it cost a life. It paid my way, and death its price. And when it flowed down from the cross, my sins were gone, yes, Lord. My sins forgot. Oh, there is a grave, and it tried to hide this precious blood. Oh, that gave me life. But in 3 days, he breathed again, and he rose to stand in my defense. And so I go to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he tries every tear that falls. And so I come to tell you that he saves, to shine and to proclaim he's coming back for. There is a blood, and it sights the blind, it heals the sick, and the lonely it finds. Oh, and it has the power to free the bound. Oh, as our chains they fall upon the ground. Oh, so pour it out, Lord, and cleanse my soul, and let his liquid, oh, his liquid glory flow. Because it lives to make me whole. I owe my life, and I owe my own. And so I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he tries every tear that falls. And so I come to tell you that he saves, to shine, to proclaim he's coming back for you. And so I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he tries every shine to proclaim He's coming back for you. Grave that tried to hide His precious blood, oh, that gave us life, but in 3 days He breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you He's alive, to tell you that He dries every tear that falls. And so I come to tell you that He saves, to shine to grow.
Come on, y'all, let's go see the tomb. We talked about the blood, and you know the precious blood of Jesus. The Bible says without the blood of Jesus, there can be no remission of sins. But the story didn't stop there. I'm glad the story didn't stop at the cross. I'm glad He kept going. He didn't die. He freely gave up the ghost. See what the Bible says? He didn't die. They tried to kill Him, but they couldn't kill Him. He gave up the ghost for us. He surrendered for us. All the way from the Garden of Gethsemane to the whipping post to the cross and the horrible, horrible things that happened on the cross. Now let's find out what happened at the tomb. This is one of my favorite parts. Mark 15, verses 42 through 47. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if He were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he be any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulchre, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. Matthew 27. Verse number 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and Mary and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. One of the questions that was written was, did the angel have a name? The angel didn't have a name, but I'll tell you something interesting about this story. When we read right there that Joseph got Jesus' body and he wrapped it up in fine linen, it was Jewish custom that day whenever they went to eat somewhere, you would let the servants know that you were coming back because you would fold your napkin up in fine fashion and lay it beside your plate. If you didn't plan on coming back, you would just take the napkin and just throw it over your plate. The Bible says that Peter, when he came and we heard, when Mary came and told him, he came running and he looked down into the tomb. And he walked away, the Bible says, pondering what he did see. What did he see? He saw a napkin that was laid right there. You know what that was significant of? That Jesus was coming back. Jesus was coming back. He didn't leave us alone. He's coming back. He said, I am he. In the book of Revelation, he says, I am he that was dead. Am now alive and alive forevermore. And behold, I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Anything that you go through, Jesus is more powerful. Anything that you're facing, Jesus is more powerful. Anything, any kind of hurt, Jesus can heal. Too many times we look and we say, you know, Jesus can heal me on my physical person. But what about the emotional wounds? What about the emotional scars? You know, sometimes we hold things inside that hurt us, and we don't give them to Jesus. We don't give them to God. He wants to love you enough to where you can give it to him. And you can say, Jesus, I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's go down here and let's talk a little bit more.
Well, kids, after seeing that, do you think that you could tell this story? You do? Could you tell about how Jesus went to the garden and he prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood? He didn't want to die, but he honored God's will. Then he was taken into the whipping post and he was beat. He was mocked. He was made fun of. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Very sharp thorns, just like that. Blood just came when they placed on it. It hurt. And then they made him, after being beaten, carry his own cross up to Mount Golgotha, where he knew that he was going to be crucified. He was nailed to the cross. His side was pierced. And then they took his dead body, laid it in the tomb, sealed it. But 3 days later, he rose and he walked out of that tomb for us. He died for us to erase our sins. That's how much he loves you. He loves us all. And that is the real meaning of Easter. And that's the story that you need to tell your friends and tell your family. Tell the story of Easter. Jesus loves you.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Hands that held nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the grave could seal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now he ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine.
Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day.
Oh, glorious day.
does love you. He does care for you. Would you like to accept him as your Lord and Savior today?
What?
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives,
because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives.
One day I'll cross the river, I'll find life's fine, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, tomorrow, because His word the living just because He lives. In life His word the living just because He lives.
These altars are open at any time during the rest of this service. These altars are open. If you feel the tugging of the Lord at your heart, come down here. We'll pray for you. We'll believe with you. Amen.
Because He lives. Tell the story. Tell the story over and over and over again. Amen. Why don't you let the drama team know this morning how wonderful the presentation was and how thankful we are that they went through the effort, man, to present it for us this morning. So good to have each and every one of you with us this morning. As I've already said, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Before we dismiss this morning, we are going to be taking communion service. As Christ was preparing for His death on the cross and for His resurrection, He broke bread with the disciples. Not only did He break bread, but it was significant. Some call it the Last Supper, but it was significant in the fact that He was telling them through the breaking of the bread that would be His broken body, and through the cup that they were to share. That was in representation of the shed blood on the cross of Calvary, amen, that we find is the only redeeming power that there is, has already been depicted in the play. So this morning I'm going to ask the four ushers that would, if they would go ahead and be preparing the wafers and the juice as well. And we're going to read some scripture. Then we're going to ask you if you would like to participate with us in our communion service this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and beginning with verse number 23, the writer says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner, also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." In other words, He expected us to do this again and again. And every time that we do it is not to eat and enjoy, but it's to do in remembrance of the great sacrifice that Jesus paid for our sin debt. So if you men would come forward this morning and pass out now. I think most of these are the little containers that has the wafer on top, and you just simply peel back the cellophane to find the exposed wafer there, and then you will open the second part of it, and the cup will have the juice then. So please do not partake until everyone has been served that wishes to participate this morning. And children, feel free to do so as well. This is grape juice, and it's signifying the blood of Jesus Christ. And as already been said, the little wafer or the bread is signifying the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Y'all are just about the most handsome group I've seen in a long, long time. I tell you what, you look mighty good this morning. Again, just remind you that some of the cups already have the wafer with it. If we do not have enough of those to go around, we have the wafers also in the bowl. I want to remind each and every one of you that this is not only a special, but is a very sacred observance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the price that he paid. We have been blessed enough to be able to participate in communion services for as long as I can remember being in church. And it never ceases to really bring home the fact, the great price that Jesus paid for our sin. After everyone has been served, we will ask blessing on the sacrament this morning. Okay, if there's anyone in the congregation who has not been served and wants to be, please raise your hand so that the ushers can get to you. Brother Keith back here. Don't forget about our musicians. Brother Keith back here. You got him? Okay. Is that everyone? In Matthew 26 and 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. If you would take the bread or the wafer at this time, we will ask the Lord blessing. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege and honor to observe the breaking of this bread. Lord, we do so remembering your broken body as you were beaten and bruised for the healing of our body, as your side was pierced, your hands and your feet driven with nails for the precious shedding of your blood that is applied to our sin. We ask you to bless this food, this wafer, and this cup this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And after he blessed it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." At this time, we'll take the wafer. If in fact you have the little cup that has the second layer of cellophane, if you'll simply peel it back, then the juice will be there for you. And he took the cup and gave thanks. And gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Thank you, Lord. Can we give the Lord praise this morning? Can we thank him for his sacrifice? Can I get a show of hands who's willing to tell the story? Tell it again and again and again. I never tire of hearing the story. The greatest story ever told was the birth, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please remember, folks, he's not in the tomb. He's alive and well. May each and every one of you have a blessed Easter resurrection weekend. Spend time with your family. We will not be having service tonight, but God bless you and God be with you. With this prayer, we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for this day and for those who have gathered here today, God, in observance of the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Father, we pray your blessing upon every member, every person, every family here that is represented today. Asking you, Lord, to lead us and guide us and direct us in the way that you would have us to go. Father, help it to burn in our heart and in our spirit to tell this story to as many people as we come in contact with, to reach out to those who are lost and dying today, to share the love that you have so graciously given for us. And we'll ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a glorious and blessed Resurrection Day. You may be dismissed.